Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And also, as a matter of information, when we do communion today, we're going to ask that people go to either end of the pew, either the aisle end or the exterior end, because there's only two elders today. And so what we're going to do is one elder will be on this side, one on that side, and we will go up the outside aisle and then come down the center and do the communion. So if you would, we'd appreciate if you'd slide one way or the other so we're not having to reach way down the pews. We've got an installation service this afternoon for Pastor Walt, and that's at 3:00. So if you'd like to be a part of that, be here at the sanctuary at that time. The Christmas cantata is coming up on December 13th. And so mark that on your calendar. And also there in your bulletin, there's a folder flyer concerning poinsettias. If you would, if you'd like to participate in this, take this flyer and fill it out and fold it and put your check or money in it and put it in one of the small envelopes that you see in the pews and put it in the offering plate. That way it won't get separated and it goes into the right pot, so to speak. So, I hope that was sufficient for people to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm sort of out of it this morning. Any other announcements?
I think it's great we're having Walt come to be our pastor. Just wanted to say something as elder. You realize this is the last sermon that Walt will preach as our interim pastor. And I think that's just fantastic.
Wow.
And it'll be just as good today as it will be next week, too.
That's right. We'll hold you to it.
One thing I feel as another elder, Walt being here was ordained from God.
Amen.
Okay? Just because of the way things worked and the circumstances around everything, it's no doubt in my mind that God answered prayers and that he is here for a purpose. And we appreciate you, Walt, so much. Okay, no other announcements. If you would, take your bulletin and let's do the unison reading that's printed on the inside. Okay? And it reads,
make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Thank you.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Please stand and we'll sing this together, and we'll sing it twice. Emmanuel.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just in awe of the fact that you are here and with us. We feel your presence, Lord, and we ask that you be with each and every person that's here, be with those that are listening out in the parking lot, and especially with those that are shut in at home, Lord, that can't be here for whatever reason. We thank you for each and every person that's here. We ask that you bless this service and help us to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. As you know, I'm sorry, you'd be seated. As you know, we're in the Advent season, and this morning we're going to do the second week of Advent. But Advent wreaths signal the arrival of Advent. The unusual circle of four candles represents our hope in the light of the world, whom the power of darkness cannot overcome. The stable candle is the second candle on the Advent wreath. It symbolizes the humility of Christ in leaving the glory of heaven to be born in a lowly stable. Lighting the second candle this morning are Danny and Lisa Coben.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. You don't have to. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to his own town to register. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to have room in our hearts and our homes for others who need us. We thank you for friends and strangers who have received us when we were lonely or afraid. May we be ready to receive the love God offers us in Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Now please take your hymnal and open to number 216. 216, please stand and we'll sing this together. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Take your bulletin and let's do this. Westminster Larger Catechism, question 6 and 7 this morning. Question 6 reads, what do the scriptures make known to God?
The scriptures make known what God is, the persons in Godhead, his decrees, and the execution of his decrees.
What is God?
God is the Spirit. In and of himself, infinite in being, glory, blessedness, and perfection, all sufficient, eternal, unchangeable, incomprehensible, everywhere present, almighty, knowing all things, most wise, most holy, most just, most merciful and gracious, long suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
Amen. Now please turn to your hymnal to number 219. Number 219, Thou Who Wast Rich.
Thank you.
As we come to the portion of the service where we do tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7. And it says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings to here to your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver, Lord. We ask also that you allow us as a church to use these funds wisely and to use them to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As we gather together, we have so many things to be thankful for and grateful for on this special Sabbath Sunday, not the least of which is the fact that today will be installation day. And as David reminded us, today is my last Sunday as interim pastor. So I'm hoping that you'll cut me some slack today because it is my last Sunday. It seems like just yesterday that we came here, but God has been so gracious and wonderful, and we certainly lift him up. And through all of this time, everything that we're going through as a nation, everything we're going through as a congregation, the Lord has sustained us and he's held us together. And so that's what we pray for again today, that the Lord would be here with us as our Lord, as Emmanuel. So let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Father, so many things we have to be thankful for and grateful for on this Lord's Day. And Lord, we lift up your name and ask that your Holy Spirit would come and touch each one of us and draw us closer to you during this time. Father, it's so difficult right now for so many churches, ourselves included, in being forced to do things that we've never had to do before. And so, Lord, we call upon you as our Lord and as our God to keep the fire burning, to keep our hearts close to you, that we could continue to worship not only as individuals, but as a body of believers. We ask, Father, that you would draw us through all of this closer to you and closer to one another. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning, for those who are out in their cars listening in the parking lot, for those who are listening over the internet. Lord, we ask that your Spirit might go forward even in this moment and touch each heart and give us the understanding and the comfort of knowing that you see everything and that you know everything, that you've not forsaken us nor forgotten us, but you're drawing close to us as we draw close to you. Now, Father, we pray this morning for those special needs that are mentioned here in our bulletin. Lord, we pray for Miss Miriam Gibb, who's a missionary with Reach Beyond World Radio, and we pray, Father, that you would give her great success in delivering the message of the gospel to those who may not have heard. Lord, we also pray for the persecuted church in Nigeria. Lord, they've gone through a tremendous persecution just this past week. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you would surround them with your mercy, that you would protect them and help them through this terrible time that they're passing through right now. Lord, we also pray for the ministry of Ridge Haven Conference Center. And Lord, as they continue to draw people to you through their programs, through all that they do, we pray that you would give them great success. And Father, we ask this morning that even as we bow before you, that your Holy Spirit would help us, that you would deliver us from the evil that's so prevalent here in our nation, and help us to stand out as lights in darkness, that the name of Jesus would continue to be lifted up and that many might be drawn to you and to your mercy. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 343. And it's titled The Communion Hymn. So let's stand as we sing this together in preparation for our Lord's Supper this morning.
Thank you.
Well, please turn with me, if you would, to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, reading verses 1 to 6. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. And hear now the word of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, we're certainly getting to that time of the season when we can drive around at night and we start to see houses that have decorated and put up Christmas lights. And it's a joy to see that. You know, we live pretty far out, and, you know, the brightest light are the stars out where we live. And so any light at all shows up just like a lighthouse in a cornfield. I mean, it's so bright. And we always try to put lights in our house, and we have a great big star that we put on our front porch so that as people drive by, they can see it. Just because we want to exult in the fact that our Savior has been born. I'm sure we all have memories of lights and Christmas lights and how special they are. You know, my brother Don and his family are here with us this morning, and I'm sure Don remembers the main street in the town that we grew up in. And by the way, yes, Don is the one that thanked the Lord that nobody got stabbed. He is the one.
I'm still grateful.
And I'm sure he remembers the way I do of the main street in our town, which was called Landis Avenue. And they would drape street lights all the way across from side to side. And Landis Avenue was large. It was about six lanes wide. It was huge. And they would have all these lights draped across it. And they had big candles on the street, the lamp posts on the sides, and right in the middle they had a great big star that came down. And I mean, this was over about a mile, a long stretch. And on the Christmas parade, they would bring out a fire truck, and Santa Claus would climb up on the fire truck, and he would wave this wand around. And believe me, that was always a sight, because sometimes old Santa wasn't all that steady. And so he'd wave that wave around, and he would hit that star, and all the lights in town at one time would come on. Now, for a child, that's really something. I mean, that's magic when you see something like that. And I'm sure that you have your own memories about Christmas lights. I think probably one memory that we all have, if you've ever seen Christmas Vacation, is the Griswolds and that house that was covered with lights. So much so that when the lights turned on, you saw the electric meter running around like a fan. And these are Christmas lights. Now, sometimes it wasn't always a happy story, because, you know, back in the old days, the olden days, when you put up tree lights, if you had one bulb that wasn't working right, the whole thing didn't work. And so you had to spend hours trying to twist those things to try to find out where that one bad bulb was so you could make it light. But that was Christmas. And what would Christmas be if we didn't have lights? If we didn't have lights? You know,
If you think about it, it's exactly the opposite of Halloween. Halloween, everything is darkness. Darkness. Everything's done at night, at dark, when it's dark, no lights. Just the opposite. Christmas is full of light. In fact, we're told in Scripture that in Him, in our Lord, there is no darkness. Everything is light. And you know, there's a reason for that. So many times, scientists have found out that nature gives us an understanding of God. That God has placed things in nature that bring glory and honor to Him. And light is actually part of that. They found out that light is made up of three different particles, three different functions. Each particle has a different function on this. And all three of these functions are necessary to produce what we see as light. Three different rays, three different groupings of wavelengths. And they have individual functions. Each of these particles or whatever have different functions. The first one originates, and they sometimes call that invisible light. But it originates, it starts the process of the light. The second illuminates, that is that it can be seen and it can also be felt. And the third consummates. This is interesting. The third one consummates. It's not seen, but it's felt, usually as heat. This parallels our Heavenly Father. It parallels the Lord. Three in one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Father is the one that originates. He originates light, spiritual light. You know, we read in our text this morning, in verse 2, it says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you." This is the Lord bringing light, spiritual light, into spiritual darkness. In fact, we're told also in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." That's what Danny and Lisa gave us this morning in the second candle. "Those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone." Oh, that's the Lord. Well, people were walking in darkness. You know, we read in Scripture that each person did what seemed right in their own eyes. Well, if you look back in Genesis chapter 6, right before God destroyed the world with a flood, it said that the people were doing evil continually before the Lord. This is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. The people were constantly thinking of evil rather than thinking of God, and it got to a point where God just couldn't deal with it. And He said, "I'm going to destroy the people in this world." We see, it seems like that we're moving along that same path today. More and more people thinking of evil continually in their minds, not giving credit to God, not rejoicing in Him. We know that just as there was a concentrated effort to stop Thanksgiving, there's also one to stop Christmas. That we should not participate in Christmas. When I read that in Scripture, I'll obey it. I don't see it there. Well, here's the dilemma. The dilemma is that those who are in darkness want it to stay that way. They don't want the light because the light exposes what they're doing. They don't like it. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. This was right after He said, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. But if you read down a little bit to John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, right after He gave that beautiful statement of God loving the world, He said this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And see, this is the dilemma. This is the problem. And that is that men who were walking in darkness wanted to keep it that way. They didn't want the light to come in. In fact, their whole purpose was to try to shut down the light, to stop it, so that they could continue doing what they loved to do. Those are the works of darkness. Well, what was the solution? No, the solution was to overcome the darkness with light. You know, in 1 John 1:9, it says, there was the one true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. And God's purpose was to flood the world with light. Because you see, light overcomes darkness. Darkness never overcomes light. The only time darkness prevails is when the light recedes. You know, think about what happens in the morning when everything is dark and all of a sudden the sun comes up and that sun overtakes all the darkness and it's light, it's daytime. And then at night, what happens? As the sun goes down, the light moves away and everything is dark again. Darkness comes back in. Darkness cannot overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. So what was God's purpose? God's purpose was to overcome the darkness in this world with the light of His heaven, the light of His glory, the light of Jesus. Now think about it. Every time we read about Jesus being born, it involves light, the star, light, bright light. The shepherds in the field, they were surrounded by the glory of God. The light came in and it announced the birth of the Messiah. This was God's purpose. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a loving Heavenly Father that cares about all the darkness that we face? I know sometimes here, as we see what's going on in the United States, you know, we're prone to become discouraged or depressed. Why do things have to be this way? It's not a surprise to God. He's known about it all along. You know, Psalm 2, we quote this time after time. Why do the heathens rage? Why do they devise this vain plot against God's anointed? He who sits on high laughs. It's a joke. Who do you think you are? Well, what's God's plan? He's going to overcome it with His light, as He always has, and as He always will. This is the coming of the Messiah. This is what Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah chapter 9, that this child will be born, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This was God's plan. So this is the first part. The Father originates. He's the one that kind of puts it together, all together. And then the second, the Son. The Son illuminates. He illuminates. He is the one true light coming into the world. And Jesus demonstrated what life was meant to be. He came to save us, but to show us who God really was. You have heard it said, but I say to you, Jesus filling full the gospel with meaning and showing us how we are to live in a way that not only are we blessed, but God is glorified. Jesus opened up our eyes to who the Father was, to the gospel, to the good news, to how much He cares about us, how much He loves us. He showed the Father's heart to the people. And the result? Well, people came to Him in droves. People crowded in to see Jesus. Jesus had to move from time to time because the crowds were so great. Well, what was causing that? Was it just that people wanted to see miracles? That people wanted to be fed bread and fish? No. It was because Jesus showed them something. There was something in him that drew them. Now, you know, I have to believe that the darker things get around here, not just Asheville, but here in the United States, the darker things get, people are going to be seeking out the light. They don't like the darkness. They may tolerate it, but they don't like it. And they're going to be seeking out the light. They'll be seeking out Jesus. And I know churches right now are hurting. Churches are closing. And I feel like it's a time when all of us need to bind ourselves together so that we can continue to keep doors open where the gospel is being proclaimed. Oh, it's great that we can do it on the internet. It's great for the people that aren't able to come and worship with us to be able to hear over the FM station. Those things are really, those are great. But we need to be together as a body. There are many churches that can't, and they're suffering. Some are dying. People came to Jesus in droves because he had the light. And he said to them, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness. You know, he's the light of life. He's the light of life. And if you've ever seen someone give their heart to Jesus Christ as their Lord, you've seen that light on their face. I've had the great opportunity of witnessing that on a number of occasions where people turn over their life to the Lord. And all the trouble and all the pain and all the suffering that you can see in their face and in their eyes, all of a sudden it just evaporates, it just disappears. And there's a freshness and a cleanness about them. A light comes into their face and their life. And that's the light of life. And that's what Jesus brings. And all the darkness of this world, his light stands out. Well, the sun illuminates. Father originates, sun illuminates. But then the Spirit consummates. Saying, wow, that's a big word. The Spirit, what does it mean to consummate something? We may think about consummating a marriage. We're probably familiar with that. But it means to make complete in every detail. To make complete, the application, to make it complete in everything. To help one become all that they were intended to be. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the helper. He's the paraclete. He's the one who walks alongside. He's the one that applies everything, all the promises and everything to our lives and help us to be what God intended for us to be and walk according to the way he's called us to walk. And the Holy Spirit, like the third particle of light, isn't seen, but it's felt. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moves in such a way that we don't see him move, but we feel him move. This is what Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 8. He said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God's Spirit moves in such a special way in our hearts and in our lives. Sometimes it's like the seed growing in secret. When somebody surrenders their life to the Lord, they may not see changes right away, but things begin to happen as that Spirit grows within them and they become more and more like Jesus. You know, like the third function of light, it's often felt as heat. It's often felt as heat. I heard somebody say one time, you know, some people come to Christ when they see the light, but others come when they feel the heat. And I think that's very true. That's God's Spirit. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that shows us our need for for the Lord, and then he's the one that applies God's forgiveness to our hearts so that we can enter into his presence. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why Christmas is very important to us, why Christmas lights are important to us, because they represent our Heavenly Father. They represent God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They represent Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to bring us light. And I believe that right now, as our nation struggles with darkness, that it's God's desire to flood this nation with light. You know, I've heard this term, the Great Reset, used over and over again. Well, I believe that God has his own reset. I think he's got his own plan for how this nation will be reset, just like he did in the 1700s with the Great Awakening, just like he did in the 1800s with the Great American Revival. I believe God has given the hearts of many Americans, not 50%, way more than 50%. He's given them a desire to see his name being lifted up once again, to see our nation fulfilling God's plan and not the plan of human beings. And by his mercy and grace, we'll see it happen. Christmas is just a reminder. When we see the lights, when we can glory in these beautiful homes that are decorated, and thank God for all of this light, let it be a sign to us. Let it be a sign that God has a purpose, and he's fulfilling that purpose in America right now. We can give thanks to Jesus, our Lord, for all that he's done. And I believe this morning that as we come to the Lord's table, that we come in three different ways. We come remembering, and that is remembering what God has done for us. We were in darkness. We were without hope apart from God's mercy. And we remember who we were, and we remember who Jesus is. He is our Savior. We remember the price that was paid, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. We remember these things. And we repent. We come to God and we seek forgiveness, not only forgiveness, but promising him that we will change, that we will turn from our sin and follow after him. We remember, we repent, and then we return. We return to our covenant with our God. He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And the people of Israel said, we agree, we will do that. And when we came to Christ, we agreed to the same thing. We made a contract with God. You'll be our God. We'll be your people. We remember. We repent. We return. You know, the Apostle Paul gave us the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and he said this. He said, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, as we approach this table right now, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be here to apply your mercy and your grace to us as we receive this bread symbolizing the body that was broken, as we receive this wine which symbolizes the blood that was shed. Lord, that we would remember, that we would repent, and we would return. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.